And happy Mother's Day. It's been said a couple of times already, but I wanted to be sure and wish all of our moms today a happy Mother's Day. And as Shannon has mentioned, remember the flowers in the gym. Be sure and pick one of those up before you leave today. I wonder, are you familiar with the story of Esther in the Old Testament? If not, it would be a great read for you. The book that bears her name is found midway in the Old Testament, just a couple of books before Psalms. As far as the timeline goes, we're jumping forward several hundred years from where we were last week as we talked about Elijah. And the reason I'm doing that is simply I want to speak about a woman on Mother's Day. Although the Bible doesn't mention to us anything about Esther's motherhood. We don't know if she had children, but certainly she had some characteristics in her life that I think every mother would want to have and needs to have. Esther lived during the Persian Empire, which was several years after Israel and Judah had already fallen into captivity. And by this time, the Babylonian captivity has risen and fallen itself. And King Xerxes is the king over Persia and really over a good portion of the whole world. In Esther chapter 1, verse 2, it says that Xerxes' kingdom stretched all the way from India to Egypt. So if in your mind you can picture that part of the world, it was quite a large empire that Xerxes was over. As the story goes in this Old Testament book, Xerxes was holding quite a celebrative festival. For 180 days, they had been celebrating the majesty of Xerxes' kingdom. To put it simply, for almost a half a year, Xerxes is celebrating himself. He's saying, look at my kingdom. This is what it's all about. This is what I've done. And they've been doing that for 6 months. And at the end of this celebrative time, for 7 days, he's holding a festival to celebrate himself again. And the alcohol is flowing freely. As you might imagine, things were getting pretty out of hand with all of the drunkenness. And Xerxes commanded for his queen Vashti to come and parade herself before all of his nobles. Vashti was a beautiful woman, according to Scripture. And Xerxes wanted all of his drunk buddies to take a look at her. He wanted them to be able to gawk at her. Well, Vashti didn't want to be gawked at. And so she refuses to come. And that was a no-no. You don't refuse the king anything of what he wants you to do. Long story short, Vashti had disgraced the king in front of his friends, so she was removed from office. And probably she was very fortunate that her head wasn't removed with the crown. And so the king is in search for a new queen. And basically, it's a beauty contest all across the empire. And Esther wins the contest. She is the most beautiful in the kingdom, and she becomes the next queen over Persia. A little did Xerxes know, Esther was a Jew, and she kept that a secret to him. Esther was raised by her older cousin, whose name was Mordecai. Esther's parents died when she was young, and so cousin Mordecai takes her in to his household. He raises her as his own daughter. And as you read through the book, you get a sense that there is a special bond between Esther and Mordecai. even after Esther is in the palace, Mordecai would hang around the outer gate of the palace just to be close to her, and there were opportunities for communication back and forth, primarily through some of Esther's servants. And then there was Haman in this story. Haman was an advisor to the king, and he's very much into himself. As Haman ascends the ladder of success in the king's cabinet, there comes a point in time where the king commands that everybody in the kingdom is to bow down to Haman. And Haman really likes that. He likes that honor. He likes that position of authority. But Mordecai refuses to bow down to Haman, because Mordecai is a Jew. And Mordecai's religion, his relationship with Jehovah God, doesn't allow him to bow down to anyone except to his God. And Haman is enraged. He's deciding that he wants Mordecai to be dead. But not just does he want Mordecai to be dead, he wants all the Jews in the empire to be dead. Isn't it interesting the number of times through the centuries that the Jews have been targets of annihilation? And this is one of those times. But Haman doesn't realize that his plan to annihilate the Jews is going to affect the queen whom he serves. A date was set on the calendar when all the Jews would be killed, even the women and the children. And Mordecai sends word to Esther, "You've got to do something. You've got to do something to save your people." And here's the theme verse of the entire book. It's found in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It's on the front of your bulletin. I think we'll have it on the screen behind me. And Mordecai says to her, "And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" Think about that. Who knows, he says to Esther, "but what you haven't attained royalty for such a time as this." The New Living Translation puts it this way: "Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this?" The English Standard Version has translated it this way: "And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Those are powerful words that Mordecai spoke to Esther. And I think that they are words that we could say to every mother this morning. Who knows whether you have not been brought to this position of motherhood for such a time as this? Our kids, especially our young kids, are growing up in a pretty dark world, and they are in a very vulnerable position. If we don't step up and teach them the truth of God's word and the truth about Jesus, they will be swallowed up by the world. And so, moms, my challenge to you today, my encouragement to you, and to grandmas too, and to dads and grandpas, I mean, all of us who are in positions of responsibility and stewardship of these children who have been given to us by God, I think God has put us in this position for such a time as this, that we would step up and teach our kids the truth. They need us. They need us to speak the truth to them. They need us to save them from the lies of the evil one. They need us to rescue them from the darkness of this world. And God forbid that we would shirk our opportunity and our responsibility that He has given to us. For the truth is, if we shirk our responsibility, the world will devour our children. and they will likely go to hell with the rest of the world. But if we rise up and show them the light and teach them the truth about Jesus, then they have a chance. They have a chance for heaven for all eternity. And so from Esther's story, I have some characteristics that would be good for each mother to strive for. And the first characteristic is this: be prayerful. As Mordecai gave Esther this challenge, the first thing that she did was commit herself to prayer and fasting. And then she says to Mordecai, "You organize prayer and fasting amongst all the Jews in the empire." Let me read to you from chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. As I mentioned to you, a lot of their communication wasn't face-to-face, but it was through some of her servants. "Hey, Esther, Mordecai's at the gate, and this is what he's saying to you." And then she sends word back to him through her servants. And so that's what's taking place here. Then Esther said to them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go in to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. Their lives were at stake. And so they took time to pray and fast for God to intervene and have mercy on them. Wouldn't that be a good thing for our moms to do? To have that kind of response, and dads too, and grandmas and grandpas, to pray and fast on behalf of those kids whom God has given to us. And that really is God's gift to us. Those kids, those grandkids, they are God's gift to you. Their souls are at stake. They have been entrusted to us for just a short while here on this earth. And there is a battle going on for their soul. We know that. We see the reality of that. It is a battle between the forces of evil and the forces of good. To put it more simply, there is a battle going on for our kid's soul between Satan and God. And one of the best things that we can do for them is to pray fervently for them, to pray persistently, to pray with passion and tears, to pray with fasting for our kids' souls. You remember that Old Testament story of Jacob wrestling with God? He said, "I will not let go of you until you bless me." And that needs to be our mindset. That needs to be right where our heart is at, that we would wrestle with God over our kids' souls and tell him that we're not going to let go of him until he blesses our children. And we need to be praying for a hedge of protection over them. I pray still. My kids have been out of the home for years. I pray still for them nearly every day that God would put a hedge of protection around them and their families from the evil one. I do not want Satan to have a foothold with even one of my kids and their loved ones. That's what we need to be doing as parents, as grandparents. I remember as our kids were growing up in our home, there were struggles. There were lots of struggles. There were tears. There were worries. You know what I'm talking about, because that's just reality. That's the way it is in your home too. There are struggles. It's not easy to raise up kids in the Lord. And there's worries and there's tears that are shed. Our enemy is supernatural, and the only way to fight him is through supernatural means, through prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, take some time to pray and fast for your kids' souls. You say, I've never done that before. Well, it's a good time to start. It's a good time to start. We don't want one of our kids lost to the clutches of the evil one. I remember times that Cindy and I fasted and prayed together. We talked and we said, this day, let's fast and pray together for our kids. Other times, maybe the Lord would lay it on her heart. Or maybe he would lay it on my heart. And we would fast and pray individually for our kids. We knew there was a battle going on for our kids' souls. And the battle was so much bigger than what we are. And that battle is escalating. And so, please, take this challenge. Whether it's something that you're accustomed to doing already, or whether it's something that would be a first time when you choose to do it, decide, I'm going to be more prayerful, and particularly, I'm going to take this challenge of fasting and praying for my kids' souls. It's that important to me. Number two from Esther's story, be passionate. And really, this goes right along with what I've just been saying about being prayerful. We need some moms and we need dads who are passionate about their kids' spiritual well-being. I remember years ago, my brother-in-law, Dave, preaching a sermon on being soul conscious. Being soul conscious. He said, a tractor salesman is going to be conscious about what color tractor you're driving. Isn't that right? A car salesman is going to be conscious about what kind of car you're driving. They're going to notice that as they cross paths with you. And they're going to see that car that you're driving. They're taking note of that. A lady who does color analysis is going to be conscious about the colors of clothing that you're wearing. And so too, we as Christians should be soul conscious. We, as we cross paths with people, we should be conscious as to whether their soul is saved or whether it's lost, whether they're in relationship with Jesus or whether it's not. And that will be pretty evident, just how they talk and how they live their life and what they're committed to and what they're spending their money on and what their interest is. Be soul conscious. Is this person saved or lost? And I say this because particularly we who are parents and grandparents, we need to be soul conscious about our kids. Are they saved or are they lost? Where is their commitment lying? Who is their allegiance to? Who is it that they're walking with? I've seen this through the years, and I will tell you, it's bothersome to me. I've seen seemingly Christian parents, who are more concerned about whether their kid is excelling in sports than what they are concerned about whether they are excelling in their spiritual lives. I've seen Christian parents seemingly more concerned about how their kids were fitting into school than what they were concerned about how they were fitting into the church youth group. And I think sometimes we get our priorities all turned around. We become passionate about things that are so temporary. And it's easy then for our kids to follow in our footsteps. If they see us being passionate about things that are of non-eternal consequence, if they see us being so wrapped up in all of this stuff of the world, and we're not so wrapped up into Jesus, it's going to be a pathway that they follow. They become passionate about the things that we are oftentimes passionate about. We need to teach our kids from the earliest age and help influence our grandkids the best that we can from the earliest age that Jesus is priority number one. You hear that? Let's teach our kids, let's teach our grandkids that Jesus is priority number one. Being saved is more important than being popular. God's word is more precious than gold. It's sweeter than honey. The church is more important because it's his body. It's his bride. It's his family. And we want to be a part of that. And we want our kids to be a part of that. We want our grandkids to be a part of that. Let's teach our kids. Church camp is important. BBS is important. Why? Because these are opportunities in which our kids can engage with other Christians and other people, and the Word of God is being taught to them, and worship is happening. Parents, please be passionate about your kids' souls. Who knows? But what you haven't been brought to motherhood and fatherhood for such a time as this. Could those words ring clear in your mind? Who knows? But what God hasn't put you in this position with these children for such a time as this. The best thing that you can do is teach your kids about Jesus. Esther was passionate about her people's well-being. And number three, Esther was bold. Did you catch that from what scripture we read earlier? It was a law if a person came before the king without being summoned that they could be killed. Let me read to you Esther chapter 4, verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. That's Esther talking. Mordecai is saying, you got to go to the king. You got to plead. You got to plead for your people and their lives. And Esther's saying, he hasn't summoned me for 30 days. I don't know why in the world he hasn't summoned his wife for 30 days. That's something I'm still trying to figure out. But that's beside the point. Esther was bold enough after the time of fasting and praying, she was bold enough to go before the king, though he had not summoned her. And thankfully, the king welcomed her when he saw her. It's a beautiful story. You got to read this story from the Old Testament. Esther shows herself to the king, and he says, oh, Esther, come in, my darling. What can I do for you, my queen? I will give to you whatever you ask for, up to half of my kingdom. Boy, things were going her way. And I think we can attribute that to the fact that there had been an entire nation fasting and praying. Could you imagine an entire nation fasting and praying for 3 days over something? Wow. She comes to the king. He's saying, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Moms, would you be bold enough to teach your kids the truth about Jesus? That he is the only way to salvation. He's not one of many ways. He's the only way. Now, I will tell you, moms, this is not what they're going to hear from the world. This is exactly the opposite of what they will hear from the world. The world will be telling them there's many ways to God. There's many ways to heaven. In fact, everybody's going to heaven. I want to know, do we have some moms who will be bold enough to teach their kids the truth that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And we must give our lives to Jesus. And moms, you got to teach that truth to them. If you have the opportunity, teach that truth to them from the cradle up. Because they're going to hear this other message from the world. Moms, would you be bold enough to model for your kids a Jesus kind of life, even though you would be going against the flow? We need some moms who will model the Jesus kind of life for their kids. That's going to take some boldness, because you will not be in the majority if that's the kind of life that you choose to live. But we need some moms who are bold, who will be willing to stand alone, who will be willing to stand in the minority and teach the kids the truth and model for them the truth. Moms and dads too, this all applies to you. And it's much better if the kids are getting it from a team effort, that they're getting this truth from both of you. Would you be bold enough to teach your kids that God made them male and female? He made them in His image. And they should be happy with who they are and content with how God made them. Would you be bold enough to teach them that truth? It's not going to make you a very popular person in the world. But you know what? We shouldn't care about being popular in the world. My, what we're talking about today is so important, because we are living in a world that is going to hell, and they're blinded to the truth, and our kids will be carried along with them if we don't stand boldly and have the courage to teach them different from what the world is saying to them. If we don't teach them these truths of God, they're going to be so confused over what the world is teaching them. They won't know what's up and what's down. And moms and dads, will you be bold enough to teach them that marriage is between a man and a woman? Will you be bold enough to teach them that sex is to be within the boundaries of marriage? Do you hear that? Will you be bold enough to teach them that sex is within the boundaries of marriage and not with whoever and whenever your hormones lead you in that direction? If we are not bold in our teaching to our kids and modeling for them what Jesus instructs of us, then our kids hardly stand a chance for heaven. Boy, that's something I want. Something I want more than anything is for my kids. I got one of them here today. I want her and her husband and those two kids of hers. And I can say that about each of my three kids. I want every one of them in heaven with me forever and ever. And so we got to be bold. We've got to stand up with courage and teach our kids the truth. Doesn't matter what the textbook says. Doesn't matter what Hollywood says. Doesn't matter what this woke or unwoke or whatever it is says. I don't care about that. What I care about is what He says. You say, my kids are all grown up. They're gone. They're out of the home. Well, mine are too. But we can still pray for them. We can still fast for them. We can still talk to our grandchildren every chance we have about what's most important in this world. Who knows what the Lord has brought to us, this position that we are in for such a time as this. So be bold. Your kids need you to be bold. Their souls are hanging in the balances. Be bold. And number four, be diligent. Be purposeful. I really don't have time to give you this whole story of Esther. You have to read it for yourself, and it's worth the read. Esther had a plan to save her people, and her plan worked. And you know what a part of that plan was? For wicked Haman, who's leading the charge to annihilate the Jews, her plan was for Haman, all of that to backfire on him. And that's exactly what happened. You know who got annihilated? Haman did. And Haman's 10 sons got annihilated too. Be diligent in leading your kids towards Jesus, moms. Be purposeful. Have that as your main goal. You've heard this before. Keep the main thing, what? The main thing. And Jesus is the main thing. Let's say that together. Keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. That doesn't mean that we can't, you know, be off in sports or school or whatever it is, the 4-H and all of that. But the main thing, keep it the main thing, and that's Jesus. Because that's the only thing that will matter for all eternity, is Jesus. If he's not the main thing right now, then you have opportunity to do something about that. And that is simply to repent in your own heart, to repent and ask God to forgive you for not keeping him the main thing. And then start doing something about that in the home. Let's pray together. I thank you for Esther's story. I thank you for her boldness. I thank you for her passion, for her being prayerful and purposeful, Lord. Help us. Thank you for the moms here today. Some of the moms here today have kids still in the home, and this opportunity is right in front of them to teach and model influence. And some of us here today, the kids are gone, but we have grandkids, and we have opportunity to pray and fast still for our kids. Some of them maybe are not walking with Jesus, and so help us. Help us to do what we can to get their attention, because heaven and hell are real. We pray for our kids. We pray for our grandkids. And as we're silent right now, would you just take a moment and pray for your kids and grandkids by name? God, we give these kids to you. May we be in heaven together, all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.